will be reading from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost had come, which is about 7 weeks after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, they were all gathered together in one place, and suddenly from the heaven there was a sound like a rush of violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fires appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them the ability.
That first Easter had come and gone. Jesus was approaching the consummation of his earthly ministry. The accounts of his resurrection and appearances afterward were, well, in some way, they were dazed and confused in some ways, weren't they? Remember, we talked about that in earlier weeks, that in one point it had him walking through a door, another point it had him eating a piece of fish. In one, he told them not to hold him, and the other one, he told Thomas, see here, come touch. But it was clear when he gave them their marching orders. You remember that. What did he tell them? He told them to go into the world. And what did he tell them to do? To teach, to preach, to baptize, to make disciples. Teach, preach, baptize, make disciples. I'm glad we call ourselves disciples. We aren't the only disciples, we never claim to be, but I'm glad we have that as a part of our name. You know what that means? It means a student, a follower. And what was the message that they were to bring? When he gave them their marching orders, what was the message? It couldn't be simpler, could it? It was simply this. Be good to one another. If you do all the red letters and kind of boil them out into one simple statement, that's it, isn't it? Be good to each other. Love each other as I have loved you. They will know that you are my followers, disciples, if what? You have love for one another. And then he told parable after parable after parable about what it meant to spread that love and to whom that love was to be spread. And his heroes were most often the down and out, the dislike, the boom. I knew it was going to happen. God, really, during my sermon... That was a pigeon's, the dove's head too, wasn't it? There is a sermon in there waiting to get out. And then he told them to wait. Told them to wait. He told them to wait and that they would be filled with power. How would they be filled with power? God's Spirit would come upon them in a way that they couldn't have anticipated. Oh my goodness. There you are. And they waited. They waited 10 days. And what happened on that 10th day? Well, what did they do in the meantime? What did they do while they were waiting? They sang songs. They prayed. They hung some pictures in that room where they were staying. Never going to stay. And they waited. Oh, it is getting harder and harder to be me. Waiting is not fun, is it? you remember me telling you about the story at Starbucks where two women pulled in front of me and got into... You remember that? It happened again. No, they didn't pull in front of me. I'm sitting at Starbucks waiting for my caramel macchiato. I don't ask for much in this life. But a double caramel macchiato is as good as it gets. Caffeine and sugar, now that I gave up whiskey. And I was in line, and there was a car in front of me. And it could have just as easily have been four guys, but it wasn't. And so don't accuse me of it, but there were four women, and I could see they were talking to each other, and they were at the place to order their Starbucks, and they were still talking to each other. I guess they were deciding on their orders, and they decided and decided, and then they decided some more, and you could tell they changed their minds several times. I didn't honk my horn. Would have been unchristian. But I was getting angrier and angrier. Just order the coffee, ladies. And they didn't. I waited. And I waited some more. And when I got up there, I was so fraught that instead of my usual tall, double tall, I ordered a triple grande. I was still angry when I got up to the window and I handed them my card. My girls keep me in Starbucks cards. And when it's my birthday, I get enough that I am of a big kahuna class at Starbucks. No, that's what they call it. I'm a big kahuna. So I hand them my big kahuna card to pay for my triple grande. And the barista said, "No. Your coffee has already been paid for by the ladies in front of you." Oh. When am I going to learn? Wait for how long? As long as it takes. The disciples wondered, how will we know? You'll know when. And then he left them. And their waiting began in earnest. They had one big church board agenda item. Brian, you'll be glad to know that there was a church board that took place before the miracles of Pentecost. They had to replace Judas. And so they cast lots, and Matthias was appointed to replace Judas. And then they waited some more. They sang some psalms, and they waited some more. And the disciples waited, and then the day of Pentecost came. It came in wind, and it came in fire. Wind and fire together hold deep religious symbolism, don't they? The wind is often thought of as God's Spirit moving, and that it's God's breath. And of course, you remember that word for God's breath, the Spirit of God, right? Ruach. Ruach. That is the Spirit of God blowing like God's breath. And that is a creative spirit. And by that same token, fire has always been a part of religious ceremony. Fire is undoubtedly the most important discovery of early humans. Think about it. Then they were able to cook meat, and I saw on a show recently that allowed them to intake a lot more protein, and when they took in a lot more protein, what happened? Their brain started growing. Steak will make you smarter. So those two elements those two religiously important symbols were a part of that day. It's fitting those two elements would come to symbolize God's Spirit in action. Wind blows where it will. You don't see the wind, but you see the effects of it, like God's Spirit. Fire refines and burns out impurities, does it not? Remember what a big jump humanity took when they could move through the metallic ages. The fire in the Holy of Holies in the inner part of the temple was to burn incense that would go up to heaven, a pleasing aroma to God. The wind filled the house where they were, and the tongues of fire rested on each of them. And what was the result of that Pentecost miracle? It was the literal baptism of God's Spirit. But the effect of it was they were filled with understanding. Right? You remember when they opened their mouths, what came out? And we mistake this with the notion of glossolalia. That is the Pentecostal movement speaking in tongues. And I do not deny that I've never been captured by God's Spirit in that way. But this is a different thing. They didn't speak in unintelligible tongues that needed interpreting. They spoke in the language of each of those who were listening to them speak. Wow. When they preached, everyone heard it in his or her own language. The gift they had been given by God was the gift of understanding. So much time has passed since that first Pentecost, the true birth of the church. We were offered God's gift of understanding that day. But somewhere along the way, we have kind of mislaid it, have we not? Have we remained true and faithful to that first Pentecost miracle? To talk and speak in such a way that everyone will understand and feel affirmed and uplifted and be drawn to us. And right now, that spirit of understanding is so badly needed in our world. Instead of a spirit of understanding, there is throughout the world a malevolent spirit of division. There is division within our world among the various peoples. Within our own country, we are more divisive than we have been in a long time. Throughout the world, it's clan against clan and tribe against tribe and nation state against sometimes their own people. Our call is still the same. Teach, preach, baptize, make disciples. But we need more than ever to receive the Holy Spirit's power to understand. That same power given to the disciples at Pentecost. Amen.